yet he loved me just the same. The scourging on his back, the crown of thorns, such cruelty. He bore them willingly to set this captive free. Was my cross. Who is this one they tenderly have taken from the cross and laid within a borrowed tomb? No words express their loss. But this was still the promised one, Messiah long foretold, who had to walk the road to death so that we could walk on gold. Yet he loved me just the same. The scourging on his back, the crown of thorns, such cruelty. He bore them willingly to set this captive free. For that was my cross. Who is this one who rose and left behind an empty grave? Listen to his voice today. He beckons, follow me. A life of serving Jesus is a life of victory. For that was my cross. That was my shame. Yet he loved me just the same. Though scourging on his back, the crown of thorns, such cruelty, I'll serve him willingly until he calls for me.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Why does Bethel Baptist Church do so many different things? Talking about ministries, different people we try to get to. And to be real honest with you, none of the ministries are different. They're all the same ministry, just different avenues. We're all trying to get in every aspect of the ministry here. We're trying to get people saved. Everything we do, from the bus ministry, all the way to the funeral ministry, all the way to the prayer services, Brother Rod going out being an evangelist for us, everything we do, nursing, I don't care what you put on it. whatever ministry it is. They're all different ministries, everybody getting a chance to serve where they're strong, their strengths are. The school, you wouldn't think that's true, but it is true. We have the school so that some people get saved through the school. The things that we do specifically because we want the Lord to be glorified. And if you're in the church house or in a ministry because you're wanting something other than that, you probably ought to reconsider what you're doing, or at least reconsider your motives for what you're doing. In this particular passage, we're going to talk about a plant. We're going to talk about a withered fruit bearer. And I want to talk to you about this. First of all, before we read this, I want you to understand something. As Jesus walked this earth, his mind was not diminished ever. Okay? There was never a time, when you read the Bible, you must understand something, that nothing ever occurred to the Lord. The Lord knew everything before it came to pass. He knew what was coming before it came. So when you're reading the Bible and you see the Lord ask a question, understand this, he's like the teacher that knows what 2 + 2 is and yet still asks the student for the answer. He knows the answer. So several times when you're reading the Bible, you think, why did the Lord do this? And you think to yourself, well, man, maybe he didn't know. The Lord never didn't know. So don't look for that avenue that he didn't know something. The Lord always knew. And if we read these verses together, we're just going to do, I've got five observations of this little plant. And the Lord does something very peculiar. You got to understand, in Matthew 21, the Lord had his triumphal entry. He comes in, the shouting of hosannas ringing out. The Lord rides in on the foal of an ass, answering, fulfilling prophecy that had happened in the Old Testament. And if you look back at verse 15, the Bible tells us when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. These people were mad that the Lord was being praised by the children. And what I love about this, what the Lord said, he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Now, why in the world would you say that? And we're going to stop there for just 1 second. I just get a kick out of this. When a kid is praising somebody like the Lord, I can see praising mom and dad because they have an idea of getting something for their praise. You've done that. By the way, you've praised somebody, and a lot of times the mutual admiration society that takes place up on this stage, sometimes we get a pat on the back because we're hoping for a handshake later. Well, you can laugh at me all you want to, but I got to be honest with you. In churches today, Brother Bill, I've got no room for praising men all the time. I got no room for that. I mean, praise a man for his faithfulness. Praise a man for doing what he's supposed to be doing. But to be real honest with you, praise was perfected in these kids because they had no hope of gaining anything from their praise. These kids were just shouting out, Hosannas to the highest for Jesus Christ, because he is that great. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. This is a big success. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. One of the limitations Christ put on himself walking in a human body was the fact that he had to get hungry. And he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on these henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now I want to draw your attention back to this fig tree. And I want you to notice the disciples' reaction baffled me. How quickly the tree withered away. And you might think when you see the Lord here, he's walking up to this tree and he expected to find fruit there. Would you not read that at first when you read that? The Lord expected, he's hungry, he goes up to this tree, and when he gets there, he doesn't find any fruit. That's saying that Jesus didn't know that there was not any fruit there. Is that possible? That's why I started out the service with saying,
understand, nothing ever occurred to the Lord. He knew that there was no fruit there, so now he's trying to teach his disciples something. And I'm going to try to teach us tonight too. If you look at this, I want you to notice a few things. Number one, this type of tree was the type of tree that could have fruit. Would you not agree? It was a fig tree, Brother Rod, so obviously it was a tree that was capable of producing fruit. It may not have had any, but let's not get to that moment yet. Let's talk about the fact that we stand afar and we see this fig tree. We say, that's a fig tree. Now understand this. Is an apple tree even if it doesn't have any apples on it? Absolutely. But we know it's an apple tree and we expect, or hope at least, that the apple tree would eventually produce fruit. Jesus knew that there was no fruit on this tree. He knew it. There's nothing that ever occurred to the Lord. He knew there was no fruit there. So obviously, he's going there in a purpose to try to teach the disciples something. Amen? So he walks up to this tree and he finds no fruit. But you must understand, everyone there knew that it was a tree that could produce fruit. When you get saved, you become a fruit bearer. When you get saved, you become, to be honest with you, even before you get saved, you bear fruit, but it's corrupt fruit. When you get saved, now you have the ability, you become a different type of fruit tree, but you have the ability, and you see a Christian, and you know who they are, and you know that they're in church. They look the part of a fruit bearer. Amen? Now, we can say unequivocally that this tree at least looked like one that should be one that would produce fruit. I liken this to the saved person. Number two, it looked as though it should have had fruit. Not only did they know it was a tree that could produce fruit, it looked like a tree that should have fruit on it. Look at this as you look at the verse here. He came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. It's not like it was a dead barren branch sticking out of the ground. It had leaves on it. I liken this to the saved Christian that looks like a saved Christian to your face. That acts like a spiritual giant to your face. That looks as though they should be, and you might admire them, and you might hold them up thinking, that's who I'd like to pattern my life after. Understand this. I don't mind you having role models. I don't mind that at all. But what I do mind is when you have a role model that's more of a role model than Christ. Okay? I love how Brother Mike loves to pray. And I would love to have the fervor for prayer like Brother Mike has the fervor for to pray. But I don't want to pattern my life after Brother Mike. I want to pattern my life after Jesus Christ, who has instructed me to pray. You must understand something. I can talk a tough game. I can act a tough game. I can show you a tough game. But at the end of the day, people are known by their... Boy, this is good stuff. You're smart. See, when the Lord wanted to show them this tree, he understood that as they were far away, the disciples may or may not have known he was hungry, but they did know this. They were headed towards a tree that could quite possibly have fruit on it. Not only could it quite possibly, it looked like it ought to. Man, they come to church in their three-piece suit and wingtips, carrying a King James Bible. It's got beautiful leather backing on it. Thing looks like it's been used a million years. They look like somebody that ought to be a Christian. They ought to be. And you hold up and say, man, they got to be it. Be very careful that you don't do that. Be very careful that you don't start holding up men. Because we are all one thing, if we're anything else. Sinners. I'm not saying that you can't look at a fella like Brother Rod Black and say, man, he can do it, so can I. I don't mind you saying, man, I wish I could play the organ like Brother Bill. Aggravates the fire out of me that this kid taught himself. It just bothers me. I could never do that in a million years. You hear my playing. Every time I walk past him, I hit keys. Doesn't sound right, does it? Shh. So I'm going to tell you right, do it to her too. I taught him everything I knew. It took me a long time to teach him, I'll tell you. But when they stood back, and I've known people like this, man, they look like they ought to be Christian. And then you see them walking into the internet cafe down the road. They look like they ought to be Christian. And then you hear what they're listening to on the radio. They look like they ought to be Christian. The tree looked like it should produce fruit. Christ knew there wasn't any there. Let me explain something to you. The reason I'm talking about this is, why do we do all the things that we do at Bethel Baptist Church? Because I don't want to end up at the end of this sermon. You got to be careful personally. You've got to be careful not to become a person that's a leafy Christian. You've got pretty leaves. You've got wonderful green leaves. You look like somebody that ought to be producing fruit. But when the fruit harvester comes to you and there's nothing there, why is there nothing there? I don't know what happens in Christians' lives from time to time. I don't know if it's just sheer length of time or the fact that they get used to coming to church, or they know the Bible backwards and forwards, and they can quote you John 3:16, but that's the extent of their Bible knowledge. They've been to college, they've been to Bible college, they've done the things that they ought to do. They come all four services, and they act the part and do well, but it seems to sometimes in our life, and I've known a lot of people that get this way, they decide that they're bigger than that. They decide that they are above what we've arrived. We've become somebody now that no longer needs to be bearing the fruit. We're just pretty enough to look at now. But that's not what the Lord desired out of this tree. I'm glad it was a pretty tree. I'm glad it was something that everybody thought might have fruit. But honest to goodness, when the Lord got there, He shows them something. And I can take you to people and name you names of people that have come through these doors and left worse than they were when they came, because they stopped bearing fruit. Why do we do the things that we do, Brother Mike? Why do we have all the different ministries all aimed at one goal? Because that way we all can bear fruit. I can't bear the fruit that Brother Bill can bear on that organ. I can't do it. I can't bear the fruit that Miss Debbie can bear on that piano. There's lots of folks that have what I don't have. I can't bear peaches. I'm an apple tree. But I can bear apples. Why are we so excited about the different ministries that we have? Why are we so excited about the nursing home? Why are we so excited? Brother, I've told you, I can't do special needs. I can't do it. It's one of the things that it tears my heart out when I walk in the door. It tears my heart out because we take for granted that those kids don't know what's going on. I think they do. I think that there are children inside those bodies crying to get out. And one day the Lord's going to let them. But I can't do it. It tears my heart out. I've been there. I enjoy it. But I watch them and I hurt for the children. It's shallow of me probably, but I know that Brother Bob can do that ministry. I know that Brother Eddie can do that ministry. I know the kids of this church. If you've ever seen the children at Bethel Baptist Church work with those special needs kids, it's impressive. They can do things and link with them and love them in ways that not many people can. They're bearing fruit. It might be oranges, and I can't make oranges, but they can make oranges. So they come to this tree, in my opinion, looked like it should have fruit on it, but the fruit did not have any. Number three, I want you to turn over with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we're going to look at verse 14. Actually, let's go back to 12. This tells the same story. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now Jesus knew what the time of figs were. He knew what the time ought to be. He knew, don't talk to me like Jesus couldn't make figs on the tree. This is Jesus here. This isn't some dope walking up to this tree. This is Christ. But what I am telling you is this. He approached the tree, and if Jesus thought along the way, tree, you better have some figs on you by the time I get there. I don't know. I'm just stating what the Bible says. The Bible simply says this. When he got there, there was nothing, and he told the tree, listen, no man's going to eat on you hereafter. That tells me something. It tells me that at one time, it was a tree that had figs on it. At one time, it was a tree that was able and capable of producing fruit. So the person that you look at that's been around for a very long time, the very same person I just got done talking about, that very same person may at one time have produced fruit. A lot of times, Christians start out like houses of fire. Good night, they're dropping fruit on the ground everywhere. Just come and get my fruit. But something happens along the way, and they stop bearing fruit. I don't know if they think that they've done enough. I don't know if they think they've planted enough. But the Lord comes and says, you know what? From hereafter, no more fruit. Why do we keep doing the things that we're doing here at Bethel Baptist Church? Why do we keep trying to go into new avenues? Because we don't want to become the tree that stops producing the fruit. I don't care if one ministry dries up over here. Start a ministry somewhere else and get it rolling. Get some fruit producing. What's going to happen if we get kicked out of the jail? Take your ministry somewhere else and get you another set of fruit. The ministry is always the same. The tree's job is always the same. I can't explain to you why he came to the tree before the time of figs. But to God, is there any time of figs? To the Lord? They knew it wasn't the time of figs, but the Lord, understand, is teaching his disciples a lesson. He's showing them, do not stop producing fruit. Did they not, up until this time, the disciples produced fruit? Did they not? Certainly they were helping the ministry along of Christ. And I dare say every person that's represented in this room at one time or another has produced fruit. You've done something. What I'm challenging you to do is not stop producing fruit. You say, well, I've been around a long time. Brother Carl, you've been around a long time. You've been saved a long time, brother. Maybe it's time for you to stop producing fruit. You've served the Lord for years and years and years. Maybe it's time to stop producing fruit. This year I'm coming up on 20 years at Bethel Baptist Church. Aren't you glad? Don't moan so loudly, okay? Let me explain something to you. Does that mean that it's good enough? Is it time to stop? See, to me, I think we should be producing more fruit now than we've ever produced before. The time is growing short. The hours are going by. The night is coming very soon. And Brother Bill, it won't be very long, and we won't be able to have ministries anymore. The fruit will be over, and here will come the harvest. And yet many times we say, I don't want to do it. I'm too tired. Too many things come in my life. I'm going to tell you, you're not that pretty of a tree. Let's produce fruit. Jesus walks up to the fruit and says, no, hereafter you're not going to do it. You've gotten to that point. I don't know what that point is. I don't know what the point is where the Lord says, you know what, if you're not going to produce fruit, I'm going to get rid of you. I don't know what that time is. Does that scare you? That scares me right to death. If you're done producing fruit, and I'm going to tell you, if you're a fruit producer, let me ask you a question. This is simple, really profound. If an orchard has a tree in it, Brother Bill, it's producing fruit like crazy, what's the guy going to do with it? He's going to take care of it and keep it. But if he gets him, and the Bible talks about this, I could turn to it. But if you've got a tree out in the orchard that's not producing any fruit, what are you going to do with it? You're going to cut it down and use it for its last bit of health, warmth. You're going to burn it because it's not worth anything anymore. It's done its job. Why do we do the things that we do, Brother Rod? Why do you go on the road? Why do you travel to all these places? Why do you keep writing songs? Why do you keep preaching the word? Because we don't want to stop producing fruit. Lord, I want you to keep me in your orchard. And by the way, Bethel Baptist Church is not guilty of what I'm preaching tonight. I just don't want us ever to become guilty of that preaching. I don't ever want us to become not fruit producers. I don't ever want to walk in here and not have somebody have a report of somebody getting saved. I don't know if you've noticed, but Bethel Baptist Church has had somebody saved about every week for the last year or so. Since we've got excited about the Lord's work and soul winning and going out and doing the things that are right, I'm going to tell you we've had great fruit here. And by the way, it hasn't been every one person getting everybody. It's all of us have produced fruit. All of us have spread the gospel. All of us have gone out. All of us have prayed. And when I told you, just because somebody wins a soul, we're all responsible. Let's stop winning souls for a while. How many churches can you name that don't have soul winning anymore? Don't have visitation. Don't have altars. Don't have baptisms. Don't have preachers that care. Don't have prayer time. Don't have Wednesday night services. Don't have Sunday night services. And I'm going to tell you, you watch those churches, those are not fruit producers. And what saddened to me is that at one time they used to be. I mean, you travel, Brother Rod. How many churches can you say used to be, but now are no longer? In Lima, Ohio, Brother Billy Sunday went and set up a tent. They took me to the tabernacle where it was. Now it's a ghost town. What happened? We stopped producing fruit. We stopped getting people saved. Not us, personally. But that's why we got to keep going forward. Amen? Not only that, I want you to see this too. The tree used to bear fruit. Now I want you to go back to Matthew again. God is so good. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 20, the last statement in verse 19, and presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? How good is God here? He's teaching his disciples. I don't know how long the Lord allowed this tree to stay without any fruit. But up until this time, was the tree withered? Huh? You know how long the Lord lets folks hang around? Think about that for a minute, how patient he is. How merciful God is. I got saved when I was 11 years old. And he was patient and merciful with me for about 10 years. Patient and merciful with me. And I wasn't withered away. The Lord allowed me to stay. The Lord allowed me to take the food that the earth provided, allowed me to make big branches, allowed me to make leaves, allowed me to look like I should look and do what I'm supposed to do and look like somebody that can do something. And how many times have you seen a person that looks like they should and that you ask yourself, why does the Lord let them go on? Tell me I'm wrong. You tell me. You haven't noticed somebody that you're not producing fruit. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, why does the Lord let them hold on? Why does the Lord let them hang around? Why does the Lord? Because he's a great and merciful God. And he wants them to start bearing fruit again. And I don't know when the Lord made this decision. Not the disciples. The Lord made this decision. And you ought not make this decision for God. You ought not make the decision, Billy, you're done. You've messed up on the keys for the last time. That rock and roll style of organ playing is done. Praise the Lord, I love that. I love the rock and roll music. No, I'm just kidding. I love the way he plays it. I really do. And what you've got to understand is this. A lot of times we as Christians, I don't care if you're producing fruit. A lot of times we as Christians, though, we cannot wait to try to judge whether or not that tree ought to stay. We try our very best to say, you know what, Lord, I think it's time that you make that decision and we hew that tree down. Come on, how many Christians, think about this now. People have tried to cut my tree down. They have. They've come after me trying to get me to stop. And maybe I wasn't producing fruit at the time. I'll be the first to admit. You ever done that? You ever gone through life like that just for a little bit as a Christian where you're not producing fruit? And you blame everything in the whole wide world, too much sun, too little rain, too dry dirt, You'd blame everything in the whole wide world. Man alive, how in the world am I supposed to produce fruit in this environment? Is that hitting home or what? There's been times I've gone through that. How can I work with these people? I got nothing to work with. I better get me some plant spikes or some fertilizer. Throw some fertilizer on it. That usually fixes you. See, what's amazing to me is we as Christians become replacements for the Lord. We think that we know and we can judge and jury what's going on with that tree. When in fact, who was the only one that really knew what was going on with the tree? The Lord. The Lord made the decision that that tree was done. Huh? If the tree wasn't done, Brother Carl, what would he have done with it? He'd have left it. But it was done. And he made the decision that it was done. I don't know how long the tree sat there. But I'm telling you, I bet you it was a long time. He allows Christians to regather themselves. He allows Christians to be restored. He allows Christians to be rebuilt. He allows Christians to be retooled. Why don't we allow Christians to do that? Because when we get a Christian that doesn't produce fruit, we turn right to rejection. Oh, I'm not saying to accept everyone that comes in here that's not a fruit bearer. What I'm saying is, why should we be quicker than the Lord to judge him? Amen? I'm just asking. Up until this time, the tree, Miss Robin, was not withered. You know why it wasn't? You know why I know that? Because when the Lord said something, it withered then. Up until that time, it was unwithered. And up until that time, the person is producing fruit. I don't know. Hey, listen, as Christ is walking towards you, I know you've got chances to get it right. And let me tell you, if you've even got a semblance of a thought that you'll produce fruit again, the Lord will let you hang around. I'm glad at Bethel we keep moving in the right direction and doing the right things, because I want to give everybody an opportunity, just like myself, to produce fruit. Hey, have you kept up with your Bible reading? I've had a lot of folks tell me how much they love the Bible calendars and how much it's blessing them. You're producing fruit. You're producing fruit. You're seeing things I promise you you've never seen. I know it. Every time I do this, I see things I never see. You're producing fruit. I'm so glad that the Lord makes the decision on when the tree is done producing fruit. And then the last one, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, the Bible says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." And you read this, and you say to yourself, thank God I produce good fruit. I must be a good tree. We're all done with this. I just want you to think with me. You stir up your pure mind. I use this verse a lot. I read this. And we can hold on to this and say, look at what I must be. But I got to be honest with you. The Bible says, in your flesh dwelleth. The Bible says, there is none righteous. The Bible says, there is none good. No, not one. Now, wait a minute, Brother Dave. You just told me through the Bible here that a good tree brings forth good fruit. You told me that a good tree can't bring forth bad fruit. A bad tree can't bring forth good fruit. If you're calling me bad, how can I bring forth good fruit? You can't. It's not you bringing the fruit. At the end of this, I want you to know one thing and one thing very securely. If you produce good fruit, it's not because you produced it. And you can take great joy and happiness in. Your lifespan of fruit producing is not contingent upon your ability to produce fruit. Your condition is not contingent on producing fruit or not producing fruit. The ugliness of your tree makes no difference to the fruit it produces. The nastiness of the branches and the notch therein make no difference. The age of your tree, the youth of your tree, nothing matters. A good tree bringeth forth good fruit. There's only one good and only one. That's Him. If He's working through you, I don't care what you look like, where you're from, where you're going, where you are right now. Your tree can produce good fruit because Christ can produce it through you. If you're not producing good fruit, it's because you're not letting the master gardener work through your life. If you're producing your own fruit, you can't produce anything but bad. It's impossible, but for Christ. So as we're going out saying, man, Brother Dave, my bones hurt too bad. And I'm not taking it. I understand. All right, stuff like that. I get that. Help. I'm in no condition. I'm too new of a Christian. I've been around too long. I should have retired years ago. I can't be on the bus ministry. I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't see anywhere in here where it says a bad old tree or a bad tall tree or a bad short tree or a bad fat tree. I don't see anywhere where it says anything like that. All I see is a good tree produces good fruit, and your tree's made good by the good one, Jesus Christ. If you allow Him to continue to produce fruit in your life, and this is what I thought, and obviously no tree can tell Him anything. The fig tree had no power to say no. Jesus was teaching a lesson. But the fig tree didn't have any power to say no. We do. Say amen to that. We have the power to say no. I'm glad at Bethel Baptist Church we very seldom do. I'm glad at Bethel Baptist Church we're the church of the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances. I'm glad at Bethel Baptist Church that the Lord waited on me to get right with Him. And then waited again when I got wrong again. And waited again until I got right again. And waited. You ever had that in your life where you just go back and forth like a ping pong match? Waiting for the Lord to spike me and end the game. But He never has. See, I got to be honest with you. I can go to the vast majority of your lives and tell you. Because I know where you've been. And when the Lord brought you out of something that you could be a good fruit producer. When in the past you used to produce bad fruit. See, your bark changed. Your tree changed. Because God changed you. Don't stop producing fruit. Let Him produce it through you, Bethel. Let Him continue to produce it. Because we're not a mess here. Oh, we're a mess. But the church is in the right direction. Let's keep it in the right direction. Serving the Lord. Doing what He's asked us to do. Don't get wrapped up in this old world. This world's got nothing to offer you. Get wrapped up in what the Lord has told us. And I promise you, when He comes to your tree, what do you want to be on your branches? Leaves? Pretty leaves? I want on my tree to be fruit. And I don't care what my tree looks like. You ever know, look at an apple tree? I thought about this today. An apple tree's ugly. The way they trim them things so the branches hang all down and big and gnarly. We lived by apple orchards when I was a kid, and I asked the guy, why are your apple trees so ugly? I asked him that very question. Why are your apple trees so ugly? Why do you come? There's no branches on the top whatsoever. Everything's hanging down. He says, two reasons. Number one, I can't reach the apples if they're way up there. That made sense. But number two, I like this. If I prune off what's at the top and unnecessary, what's on the bottom grows a whole lot better. I thought about that. Why don't you let the Lord take a little off the top so the bottom of you grows better? The middle of me's growing just fine. I know that. Being a fruit producer, I personally believe you've got to find yourself tilling the garden. To be a fruit producer, I got to believe you've got to get on your hands and knees and do some weeding. To be a fruit producer, I got to believe you've got to prune things out of your life. To be a fruit producer, you've got to rely on Him to produce the fruit. We at Bethel Baptist Church, in my opinion doesn't matter much, are doing a great job producing fruit. Could we be better? Sure, absolutely. We could let the Lord do more with us. And you'd agree with that. But I don't want to be the one, when the Lord comes back for the bit, I don't want to be the one that has a pretty tree but there's nothing on it. I can talk about tree after tree after tree and it produces fruit, but it sure is nice to look at. The Lord, what's a good one? But the tree that produces fruit is good for so many. Aren't you glad to be part of a church that produces fruit? If you had to say one thing about Bethel Baptist Church, we're doing a good job producing fruit. But we could be better. Amen? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this. I thank you for this Bible study. And Lord, I know it's kind of silly. And Lord, very, very simple. There's nothing deep here at all. But Lord, I think you found great teaching in the things that weren't so deep. And Lord, I pray that we would be... let me pray for myself, Lord. I need to be a better fruit producer, Lord. I've got to have you work better through me. Lord, there's so many ways that I fail you. So often I don't talk about you, Lord. So many things I could do for you. Lord, work through me. Work through my heart and let me be calm and be understanding and listening for what you have to tell me. Lord, let your Spirit guide me, Lord. Let me be very close to the Holy Ghost and the power that He can give, Lord. Let me be in prayer constantly talking to you. And Lord, please send people in my path that I can spread the word. Oh God, please. There's so many people that need prayer right now, so many sick ones, so many trees in our orchard that need tending, Lord, and you're just God to do it. Lord, please help us. We need you. I believe the preacher, when he got the word from you that we're going to do it one more time in Northeast Ohio, and I believe it's begun. I believe revival has begun. I believe, Lord, that you tested us and you put us through a little bit of fire to see how we'd come out on the other side. And Lord, I believe what's already begun. I see a renewed fervor and vigor to read your word, Lord, that I haven't seen since I've been here, Lord. I'm so excited about it. Lord, let us not stop. We're only halfway through the first month, and there's 11 and a half more to go, Lord. Please, don't let us stop. Lord, let us continue to want to produce fruit. Our physical body is not going to want to read. Our physical mind is not going to want to hear. Our eyes are going to grow weary. But Lord God, you're greater than all those things. Lord, let us get through the Bible this way through this year, and we'll certainly be better off for it. Oh God, let us seek more ways to get into your ministry. So many different avenues all going the same direction, Lord. Let us get involved even more than we are now. Because Lord God, I believe if there's one thing for sure, you're coming. And you're coming soon. Lord, we've got to be about your business. We've got to be about it today. Lord, don't let another day go by where we don't think about you, work for you, talk to you, read about you. Oh God, there's so many ways we can produce fruit. Lord, please produce fruit through us. And Lord, bless the message tonight. Bless the invitation. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.